You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here together with Ed Stetzer.
Who did not interrupt at all. How far are we away from episode 200 when I can interrupt?
We are on episode 196. We're climbing. We're climbing. Like we're getting
like
there.
So 196. It's like the climb. It's always going to be an uphill battle. You don't know that song, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sorry, was that sorry, from like 1940?
No. Wow. Are you applying? I went around in 1940. That was from like, that was Hannah Montana. So...
What? Oh, I did not expect that.
That was back when these were nice, clean things. And so my daughters listened to a song called The Climb. And so there you go.
Your daughters listened to Hannah Montana, but they didn't listen to Miley Cyrus?
There became a point when things, because you know, they're the same person. Did you know that? It's yes. The best of both worlds. But there came a point when it sort of changed. And
my
daughters today do not listen to someone who used to be a very clean musician.
Yeah, Disney star, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, let's, without further ado, get into our question from Pavel.
As you decide to plant a church, should you decide about the governing of your church by yourself or with the team that you will have? That's something important, I think, to consider. Should you include the team members as part of the decision making or not?
All right. Well, it sounded like Pavel was outside because of the birds.
I think Pavel was having dinner with his family and he actually said, let me do it now. So do we?
You know, it sounded to me that his kids were on the trampoline and he was... That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Pavel is one of our plus members at newchurches.com. Be sure to check that out at newchurches.com/become a member just to learn a little bit more about that. But yeah, should you decide your governance by yourself or with the team that you have? What do you think, Ed?
I think by yourself. I know that's maybe a little counterintuitive, but let me explain. What I'm talking about here is that you should already have an idea of your polity. Mm. In other words, what is it that you think you should be doing as a church? And so, you know, I sort of know that if I plant a church, it's going to be, I believe I'm theologically congregational, elder-led, not elder-ruled. I think the Lord's Supper is a local church ordinance. You know, in other words, there are things I already believe about that. So I don't say, all right, we've started the church. What do you think? What does everybody think that we should do to actually, you know, make this church be a church? So now I would say the input, I think Pavel is if he's asking for input on who should be in those roles, absolutely. But part of that's because I'm a congregationalist. I think that should be, you know, in relationship and in community with other people. But I think, as a matter of fact, Elmer Towns once said this. Well, I don't even remember when, but it was years and years ago. I asked him once, what do you think the number one most common cause? And he said, the most common thing is leadership failure. He says the second most common cause of church plant failure. So he said, most common thing is leadership failure, but he knew that. He said, you know that. But I think the second most common thing is, and most people don't think about it, is shifting ecclesiology. So in other words, that's, you sort of start with this. Yeah, but explain it made sense though. So you sort of start with an elder led or elder ruled, then you change your mind. It's like, well, what did we not have any views in this coming in? So I think, in answer to his question, I think you come in and then you teach people, when you teach the scriptures, you teach people that this is what the church should look like. This is how the church should ultimately be structured, because this is what ultimately the Bible teaches. So does that make sense? Would you differ?
No, that's fascinating that the number two issue
that's
of
what he
church
thought.
Plant
now,
filling.
Again, he didn't tell me that like where it's like a study. He just said, I think what he's seen is a lot of churches go out and particularly being started, you know, if you think of their background, you know, particularly being started with the strong solo pastor model and then maybe change it and sort of demoralize people. Why do we keep changing these things? Why do we keep changing these things?
Yeah. If you think of when the church growth movement was really taking on, right, and there's a lot being written on it, and they're saying, hey, if you want to grow your church, if you want to double in size and do all that stuff, then you need you need to have more. There needs to be what did they say? Elder approved or and then staff run, right?
Yeah, I've heard that before. I think that can be a model that works.
Yeah,
you know, but people come to different conclusions on some of the models, though.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I just bring that up because once again, it's a change, right? It's a change, and it could be, you know, is it that you're changing your ecclesiology based on the book that you read or how to grow your church faster? I know my church today, if you would look at the way that it's run, and we don't have a senior pastor, and you were you were an interim at the church years before I got there, and it used to be senior pastor led, and today there is no senior pastor, it's elder led, and if a church growth person would look in and see that there's more lay elders than paid elders and how that works versus the campuses, they'd be like, hey, how do you ever expect to double your attendance in a couple of years, or how do you ever expect to grow rapidly with that sort of leadership model? And I think part of the thing that we need to come back with is, hey, what's driving your ecclesiology, right? Is it models or is it shifts, or is it really you coming before the Lord, seeing this unique story of each of your church, if you're a church plant, the story of how other churches are in your neighborhood where you're going to plant, where how you grew up in, and because you need to be aware of that, because all that is affecting, all that is in your head, and it's affecting the ecclesiology that you choose and the way that you make decisions.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because I think a lot of times people sort of overreact, and they sort of, you know, the last thing they do is they sort of then react the other direction and pull it the other way. So yeah, so I think that for all of us, we have to ask the question, what is it that we biblically think a church has to be? And then if we think that's what the church should be, we structure and kind of grow in and towards that direction. And I think that's not always so easy for us to do, because circumstances sort of push us in different directions. And we had a bad experience, we had this experience, et cetera, et cetera. It's tricky. But I think I would kind of pray through, think through, maybe your tradition sort of has some things that you think are right. Now, again, I have some, I mean, when it comes to ecclesiology, particularly in church planning, and even in our book, Planning Missional Churches, we took some positions and we tried to be inclusive so that people could, you know, have different traditions. But we were pretty clear, this is what we think, and we have similar views, you and I. But I think also, too, one of the things I've seen, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, at the campus at Wheaton College, I'm looking out over here, and I'm going to be speaking at a building over here with my Anglican friends. So they have different view, and these people love Jesus. They've searched the scriptures. They've just come to some different conclusions. So I can say, all right, you've come to those conclusions. Make sure you have them clear, and then don't be shifting them around once you plant the church, lest you demoralize the people that you're actually called to reach and lead.
Yeah, that really is a caution, and something that I personally didn't think about, how that would really affect and change the culture of the church, especially if you change that governance. So once again, Pavel, as you are thinking about deciding your governance, as you plant this church.
Are you pronouncing his name Pavel, or is that what you heard him say? Because I was saying Pavel.
Pavel? Oh, okay. Maybe it's Pavel. I'm thinking of Pavel Bure. Any hockey fans out there? Number 10, okay, Vancouver Canucks, one of the fastest hockey players.
Kind of always comes back to hockey with you, doesn't it?
It does. It does come back to hockey.
Yeah, I kind of think you need a new go-to thing. So, all right.
Hey, I binge watched Friday Night Lights with my wife in order to understand American football. So I think I'm not sure that
I'm not sure a TV show about high school football players isn't in Texas. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it is Texas. Hey, people from Texas say it was pretty accurate.
Well, I haven't seen it because, again, I'm a Christian. I don't watch these things.
No, but, not at all. But I was just saying hypothetically, if I binge-watched it.
If you had been binge-watched it, exactly. People are like, you guys are so pathetic. But we just don't want to get the hate mail. Have you listened? Have you seen some of the people that are, that listen to podcasts? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, man. You know, I remember, who was it? We interviewed Bob Goff on the 5LQ podcast, our other, the other podcast we have with Leftway Leadership.
One of the 17 podcasts you host.
this is fascinating. So Bob Goff, if you don't know him, he is one of the, I know you know him, Ed, but all of our listeners, he is like one of the happiest guys on earth.
Well, great guy.
Right. But what was fascinating is he was laughing and smiling while he said this. He said, anytime someone is like trolling him and saying something mean about him or you know, all that, sending him hate mail basically on Twitter, what he'll do is before he mutes them and blocks them, which he does, before he does that, he'll actually go onto their profile and look around and see what he could learn from this person.
Oh my gosh.
And then he mutes them. No.
Do I have to do that to be more godly? Because I just mute them. Usually what I do is I send them a note and I say, you are driving me crazy. You need to stop getting on Twitter. And I'm about to block and mute you. And then I never see their response. So I'm like the opposite of him. I feel like I need a more godliness.
Well, Bob Goff is a godly guy, so.
He is. And so this is a lesson for me to be more godly. I received this.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to check us out next time and get ready for episode 200. It'll be fun and we'll give lots of stuff away as well.